Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. I think very excited always to come up to the mountain. Like I said to some of the people before, I really enjoy Grabo, enjoy the trails that you guys offer, but also the people. First time at this venue, so I'm super excited to be with all of you and bring something that God has stirred in my heart. So I think a lot of new faces. Like I said, it's the first time I've been in this venue. I've been to the other one before that. Just for those who don't know me, I'm Brian Britson, married to Yolanda. We've married now for 25 years, or about in November we'll be married for 25 years. So it's great, and God's blessed us with two beautiful kids that can't be here this morning. They're actually down, they're actually in Somerset West, and basically Ruben and Bianca. And being in Cape Town, or being in Western Cape now, as long as I've been at Josh Jen, 13 years. 2013, God added me to the Josh Jen family, and also then found a place in Somerset West, and super blessed being in the Western Cape. So really grateful to you for the privilege. Craig, thanks for inviting me. It's always, I think I said to Annalie, when you prepare for a preach, you get so much out of it once you start digging into the Word, which is so powerful. You can just see things that He's shared, that He deposited in our heart. And I hope that you get some of that today as I share on this wonderful topic. So it is simple, but it's a powerful truth that we've got access to the name above all name. And I want to talk about that today and what that means and the power that unleashes as we can walk in that authority of Jesus. So, and it's also important to know that it's not, we get access to this name not because we're important or we qualified or we trained, but because Jesus has given us His name that we can use. And normally what happens this time of the year, through the resurrection, with the crucifixion, the resurrection, and now I often go and read in the book of Acts. So I'd like to always see what happened in those days where they got the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, and how their lives changed forever. I mean, they were with Jesus for 3 years, but it's actually when He left and He sent Him the Holy Spirit that their lives changed and was forever changed. And they received boldness to preach the good news. So as I was reading in the book of Acts, I came to the third chapter. And maybe I'll just read through that. And that's what inspired me to pray about this specific topic today. So I think I've got it. If you can maybe put up, I've asked for the first one. It's just in New Living Translation. Being a bonehead, being Afrikaans, it's the one that actually reads through the best for me, so I want to read through this one. So, Peter and John went, let me just stand over here, I was going to do it in my Bible, but I can do it like this, is it fine, it sounds cool. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in a 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day, he was put beside the temple gate, one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg for the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift. But Peter said, "I don't have any money for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did that, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All of the people saw him walking and heard him praising. So just up to that point. So there's a couple of things that stand out. I don't know, as you read through it, and I just want to go through some of the stuff there. So the first of all, like Craig mentioned before, Peter and John, they went together. It's almost like they went to for a prayer, which happened at 3 o'clock. But they then saw this lame man. He's been lame from birth. But he was often, I think every day, he was carried into the temple. So that's something that they saw every day, that this man was carried in at the Beautiful Gate. But what something unique for me, just something different this time. And that's just after they've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I think Peter looked at him intently. So often he saw the need. Often we walk past things and we don't really see. But when we are obedient to the Holy Spirit, like we said, he actually looked at him intently and he gave him something. So the beautiful thing about this is he didn't give him something that he didn't have. He didn't have money. He didn't have influence. But what he did have is he had the name above all names. He could offer him the name of Jesus. So for us, it's important that we know the name. And I want to go a little bit later on describing the power of the name above all names. Plus, the man expected a gift. He expected something temporary. He expected a coin. But God had something much bigger in store for him. He had a miracle in mind. And often, isn't that with us? Our prayers are often so limited, and we maybe pray and trust God for the small things. Where he's got something bigger for us that he actually wants to give us. So just a small FYI, don't limit your prayers to God, that he's got always got something bigger than a coin. This man was expecting a coin, something that would only last for a day, but what God had something bigger in store for him. And then the other thing which you, I don't know, even when I read through it, I always thought, so Peter said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk, and then the man just got up and walked. Wasn't the case. If you pay attention, it's only when Peter actually reached out, took the man by the hand and lifted him up, then his ankles became strong, and then that's actually where the miracle takes place. So often with us, we can't just say the word and think, but often we need to act in faith. And the step of faith was he knew the power of that name, but he still had to reach out. And reach out to the lame beggar and had to lift him up. And only that's when he started. And obviously, we see he started running and leaping for joy as God touched him. Okay, so now we've heard about the person. I want to talk slightly about the power of the name of Jesus. I think it's important for us to know, what is in the name. So we believe that the name holds immense power. And it's not in teaching of the name. It's not a magical formula, Jesus, the name. But it's more the power of the name is entirely tied into the authority, the identity, and the victory of the person of Jesus. So it's because of what he's done. Just as a police officer would go and command someone to stop in the name of the law, it's not because of the police, because of the uniform, or because of his name, or because of special credentials, or he got special power, nothing to do with him. His entire authority is backed up by the government. It's not him. And that's the same with us. The name of Jesus carries the ultimate authority of God. And I want to share just some of the profound power regarding the name of Jesus. So, one, it represents the supreme authority. So the New Testament, we read where God says he granted Jesus the total authority over heaven and earth after the resurrection. And so this is the ultimate expression of this. We could be seen in Philippians 2:9-11. If we can put that one up. Therefore, and this is the crux of the matter, that's actually what God has done. He says, God therefore exalted him above the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he's been given the name above because of what he's done on the cross, because of his resurrection. God says, I'm giving you total authority over everything. And at this name, and this is the name we're going to talk about today, at this name, every knee will bow. So when we call on the name of the Lord, we are appealing the highest level of authority in the existence when we call on the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has power. Why? Because of what he's done. It's because he conquered death and resurrection. Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection, he by doing that, he's defeated the power of sin, death, and darkness. And when we speak that name, we declare the victory. We declare the victory. Also, we remind spiritual force and darkness that they've been defeated and have no final claim over the believer's life. If we look at the meaning and the identity of the name, we heard this morning, and I actually looked up what Aisha means, and it means alive and living. And there's definitely something in the name. And even in the Hebrew culture, it's not just a label, but it defines a person's destiny, character, and essence. And the name of Jesus, we know, derives from the Hebrew word Yeshua, which means God is salvation, or the Lord is salvation, or God saves. That's what Jesus means. And when the angel Gabriel told Mary to call him Jesus, he also added and said, because he will save his people from their sins in Matthew 1:21. So that's what Jesus means. So the name, that's the meaning of the name. Therefore, when this name is spoken, and even when we sang it tonight, when we speak the name of Jesus, when this name is spoken, it literally is a declaration of God's power to save, heal, and deliver. The power of the name that we bring up in faith, that's what this name does. Also, what the further thing that it does, it gives us access to the Father. So we know that before Jesus, humanity was separated from God through our sin. But Jesus changed this. He changed all of that, and he became the mediator between God and man. And Jesus explicitly said to his followers, when you pray to the Father, pray in my name. And what he says, we read about it later in John 4 and John 14, but in praying Jesus' name, you are not approaching God based on your own goodness, achievements, or your right. You're entering God's presence based entirely on Jesus' credentials and his relationship to the Father. There's nothing we've done, nothing we can deserve. But when we call on the name, when we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, that's what that gives us access to. We come because of what he has done. Plus, another thing that the name does when we bring it up here, I mean, Jesus actually said that when his name is honored, he's personally present through the Holy Spirit. And there we know that Matthew 8. No, it's not that one. Matthew 8. Is it Matthew 18, verse 20, where he says, Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. So that's just a promise that when we honor the name, when we bring up the name, he says it's a promise, I will be there with you. So even today, even when we were praying this morning, or two or three, he just loves it when we honor his name, when we bring up his name. And he says, when you guys do that, know that I'll be with you. And I think that's so amazing. So now we know a bit about the power of the name. Now just where did Jesus actually say that we can use his name? Thanks for asking. I just actually want to go through that because it's good to know that he's actually said, and it's so many times he's actually spoken about it. And he explicitly actually tells his disciples to use his name primarily. I always battle with this word. Hopefully my English is not up yet. I've still got a couple of minutes to go through. But he says we need to use his name when we pray, when we need to extol the authority of Christ, we need to bring up his name, but also in gatherings. He says we can. And most of this direction comes during the Last Supper. As we have normally, I think if you read John 15, 16, and 17, the Last Supper, Jesus actually introduced a new way for the followers to approach God. Previously not, they used to, everything they wanted, they asked Jesus, but he actually said, from now on, I want you to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Use my name. So there's various places. I just want to go through scripture just so we can see. And if you read, just maybe this afternoon later, go through 15 and 16 and 17, where it actually says when we need to pray in his name. So it's also asking the Father in my name is the, we know that asking the Father in my name is the key to answered prayer. Because this acts as a breach of authority between the followers and God. So in John 14, I think we did have it up a little bit earlier. John 14, 13 and 14, he says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Also, John 15, 16, it says, you got 16. I could have got it wrong. No, don't worry. I think I must have typed wrong there. So it's John 15, 16. It says, the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Also in John 16, 23, 24. Have you got that one? So in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I'll tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you'll receive, and your joy will be complete. So God has changed something new. He's introduced them to a new way of gaining access to the Father by the name of Jesus. Also, when we gather, I explained earlier, is when we, Jesus explains that the spiritual presence is guaranteed when followers meet under the authority and the identity of Jesus. So when we bring up that name, when we are gathered in his name, he promised that he'll be there in Matthew 18:20, where he said that when two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there. Also, before he went up, he actually asked the disciples to give them permission to go out there, make disciples of all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, and know this, I will be with you till the end. Also in Mark 16:17, when they encounter, I think he sent out the 72 and said they need to go and proclaim the gospel. And then they came back with a bit of a report back, and they said, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. Again, nothing bad of them, the power they've got, or that the heavenlies will actually listen to them, but it's because of they speak with the authority of Christ, the authority of Jesus. I don't know if anybody knows a lady called Heidi Baker. Now, she's quite a very well-known Christian missionary and co-founder of Iris Global in Mozambique. And she frequently shares testimonies of where she encountered the Holy Spirit, and where, because she's got a gifting of signs and wonders that follows her missionary. And I just read up a bit about, what did she encounter? What did she attribute all these things to? And she's prayed for deaf eyes, that didn't make sense. As I said, it didn't make sense. Blind eyes, deaf ears, and she prayed for people that's dead, and they actually saw them coming to life. And that's, wow, it's amazing. And often it was through compassion, when people bring them to her, and she's just got faith. And she says, she attributes all these miraculous signs entirely to the power of God and the authority in the name of Jesus. And she believes that when believers pray in faith and humility and compassion, listen to this, the Holy Spirit can choose to move supernaturally. But it's us, it's when we come and we pray and with faith, with humility, as well as with compassion, that's when the Holy Spirit can move. And the Holy Spirit moves when he wants to move. She describes these events as mysteries of God's sovereignty. That's it, sovereignty. In her views, she believes that obviously for us, we are called to walk in obedience and yield ourselves completely to God, resting in the understanding that He chooses how and when He will use His power. Again, it's not up to us to decide. All that we can do is we come with the name, we come with faith, compassion, humble, knowing it's nothing that we can do. And we just bring our request forward to God. And then he chooses to move. We don't know when and we don't know how. It's not up for us to decide. We can only bring faith. And that's only when we know that there's so much power in his name. Bless you. So now knowing the authority, I'm talking about the authority we have because of his name. So when believers understand that they've been given the authority to use Jesus' name, it should change everything in how we pray and how we stand against adversity and how we walk our daily lives, because we now know that we've been given the authority. Building on the idea of delegated authority, using the name of Jesus is essentially being handed a legal power of attorney. So practically what this means for us is we speak on behalf of the King. When you pray, if you pray in Jesus' name, it's not a magical formula or a polite way to end a prayer. It's actually, I'm standing here in his place, speaking on his behalf, backed by his track record, victory, and his righteousness. Nothing that I've done, it's only because of what he's done. Jesus also said, in like we read in John 14:13, he says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So we're not approaching the throne in our own strength, our background, or our own merit. We're approaching it with the full backing of heaven. Also, the spiritual realm recognizes The signature. So what do I mean by the signature? In the ancient days, the king would give a signet ring to a trusted administrator. And the administrator will then use this ring and stamp a document. That document carries the same weight as if the king wrote the document, and that's the same what it's given us. This is so when the enemy and the spiritual realm do not, so that they will not bow at our willpower, our intellect, or our title, but they will absolutely have to bow to the name of Jesus because he's already defeated them. When a believer uses the name in faith, the spiritual realm sees and recognizes the signature of the king. And that's where the name is so powerful. Nothing again to do with us because of what he's done through us, what Jesus has done on the cross. Also, it's important now we think that we can just use the name and anybody can go and just use the name. And that's also, we need to correct this as well. The authority is entirely dependent on staying connected to the source. So the New Testament gives us a stern warning. We read about it in Acts 19, a little bit further, where the seven sons of Sceva actually, they thought, now we found a way that we can also do miraculous wonders. And they actually try and do the same thing. And they actually went and they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come. So they prayed for a couple of evil spirits and they thought by just bringing up the name, it's gonna cause a formula and they're going to see the result. But the evil spirits replied, Jesus I know and Paul I know about, but who are you? And actually we read that the evil spirits, they overtake those men and they actually had to run away, I think without clothes. I think they just... So it's important for us to know, yes, there's power in the name of Jesus, but it's important for us to have a relationship with him. So these guys, they thought they had the formula, but they didn't have the relationship. So true authority flows from an intimacy and a submission to Christ. We need to know Jesus. We need to be submissive to him. And of course, it's when we fully surrender to him and his authority flows naturally through us, that's when the name has the power. That's when salvation takes place, healing takes place, and deliverance takes place. So when the truth should shift the believer's posture from begging and hoping to a posture of faith and declaration. So we aren't trying to fight for victory. We actually operate from victory that Jesus already won on the cross. And that's when we come into prayer. We're from that point. We don't have to beg and plead. Yes, we ask him for prayers, but we know what he's done for us on the cross. And because of his name that we've got access to, we can now pray to these people. So what does this literally looks like for us today? So the first thing I would say is we can pray in confidence. We don't have to have timid prayers. I wouldn't say be arrogant, but we can have bold prayers. Because we approach God in the name of Jesus, not on our own. When we confront fear and darkness, like fear and anxiety and oppression, they won't have the final say. Jesus has the final say. When we pray for the sick, often we say, we hear somebody sick, we say, listen, I'll pray for you. We don't have to. What we should do is what Peter and John did then. They saw the need. They looked at the guy intently and say, maybe what you want, haven't got that, but we have got the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. So we should go, we should lay hands, pray, and believe. Again, nothing that we can do. We are not the one that's going to make the healing, but we can definitely stand up in faith and walk in faith and ask him to do that. So ultimately what God called us in Colossians 3:17, I know we've got that one. And that's our words, behavior, choices carry his name. Are our words and behavior carry his name? He says in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord, all the while giving thanks through him, God the Father. To him, God the Father. So whatever we do, what we say, we know we've got the name. We know we've got him living inside of us. And however our conduct must be, we must make sure that it represents that name that we speak about. We carry that name. So I also feel that when you feel weak, afraid, insignificant, remember whose name you carry. Often, even last night in preparing, at a point you come to, will you be able to deliver what God has put in your heart? And when you feel weary, you know that you represent him. And even today, seeing how lives have been changed, nothing to do with us and what we've done, because what he's doing in us. And we know that when we're weak, when we feel insecure, he's the one that actually walked this road with me. Like that lovely testimony we heard this morning. I've got the lady's number. I know I've met Mark. Bridget, it's great just to hear what God does as we put our faith in him, as we reach out to one another. We've got his spirit inside of us, but we've also got the name of Jesus. Right. So in closing, we know that Peter was a fisherman. He was an ordinary man, unqualified in the world's standards, but he knew whose name he carried. And in the name of Jesus, so the name of Jesus, it's not something of the past, it's something for today, something we can actually reach out to today, expecting healing, expecting breakthrough, expecting salvation. Again, what happened in the book of Acts is not just for then, it's actually for us now. And when we call on the name of Jesus, we can expect all these things to happen. And it's never for our glory, it's always for his glory. So the question is not whether the name has power. The question is whether you believe in the name enough to use it for his glory and for his kingdom. So I just wanted today, even knowing through what I've been gone through the last couple of weeks, in really being super dependent on Jesus for stuff at work, stuff with at home with kids and with things that are happening, I'm sure that there could be those of us that feel that they're carrying situation, that feel they may be carrying anxiety, sickness, pressure, uncertainty. Some might feel weak, small, and insignificant, or overwhelmed at times. I just actually today, and I think a lot of us we do know, but I would like to pray for us as a congregation, if it's possible, just for us to hold on to this truth again, that when those tough moments come, we know we've got access to the name above all name. Jesus said that we can when we ask the Father, we need to use his name, and for a reason, because he knows the power that's available to us. And again, it's not just it's actually to see God glorified. What the name does, it actually, when we pray, when we need a healing, when there's deliverance that needs to take place, we can call on the name of Jesus. So I'll just ask us, if maybe as a congregation we could stand, if that will be okay with you. And I just want to pray for all of us. And then, we can have some time afterwards just to see